Good morning. Today's daf in Sota is Yud Tes. We're starting on Yud Ches Mid Beis. We're starting with the words Tanur Rabbanan. Our first discussion today is going to be, we're going to go through a Braisa, a topic which is not discussed in the Mishnayos, but the Braisa here covers it, and that is, so how many times can you take your wife to the Beis HaMikdash to have her drink the Mei Sota? It is an unbelievably funny question. I mean, funny for us, the casual observer. Certainly not going to be funny for the husband nor for the wife, but in other words, how many times can he bring her in? Basically, how many bolts are in the gun, if you like the analogy? So how many times can we do this? So Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara is going to be quoted. We're going to start with the pasuk. So it's Toras HaKinaos. Okay, and really what we're focusing on over here, obviously this is one of the pasukim regarding the Sota. Actually, it's the last pasuk. Anyway, Zos Toras HaKinaos. The word Zos, what do we know? Every time we see the word Zos, it means it's a miut. It minimizes its constriction. And Torah is always going to be an expansion. Okay, so what do we have over here? Confusion. In other words, we have Zos, which is a miut, and we have Torah, which is a ribui. So what happens over here? Malam Mishaisha Shosa Vishona. So according to the Tanakama, so what a woman can do is she can be drinking multiple times. That needs to be clarified. So right now, I'll leave it just standing there by itself, that a woman can be drinking multiple times. Presumably, we're talking about the same woman, same husband. Okay. In other words, that is a choppy relationship. But okay. Right now, let's just let that hang there for just a moment. So, Shaisha Shosa Vishona, that's according to the Tanakama. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Zos, Shein Haisha Shosa Vishona. And, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I want you to focus on the word Zos. Zos is a miut. And Zos is telling me that you can't do it multiple times. The woman's only going to be drinking one time and one time only. Okay. Again, a lot of clarifications necessary over here. All we did so far is just introduce ourselves to two opinions, and we have not yet wrapped our heads around the two opinions. Stay tuned. So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Maisa Vehei Lefanin Nechun Yechov Vishichin. So, Rabbi Yehuda says the following, and that is that Nechunya, who happened to have been a grave digger, right, a ditch digger, and Shaisha Shosu V'Shon V'Kibana Yedusa B'Shnei Anoshim. So what happens is that it's possible for a woman to go ahead and to repeat, repeat drinking. But we accepted that B'Shnei Anoshim. We're talking about where the woman is going to be able to drink twice, but only with two husbands. Okay, and just to clarify what that means that with her first husband, so again, she was with another man, and husband warned her not to be with that man. In other words, there was kinui, there was dira, and she was brought to the Beis HaMikdash. She drank the sota. Obviously, she survived, right? That kind of goes without saying. So obviously she survived, but the marriage didn't last, okay? And now she moves to her second marriage, okay? And in her second marriage, now, by the way, the marriage could have just terminated simply because he died, okay? So whatever. And now she moves to her second marriage. So in her second marriage, once again, this new husband is not happy with her talking to this man and kinu istira, et cetera, et cetera. So now what Rabbi Yehuda is telling us is that when it's two different husbands, so then she could be drinking multiple times, once for the first husband and a second time with the second husband. But under one husband, she cannot drink twice. So that is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So what Rabbi Yehuda is now doing is taking basically a middle ground, a middle position of there are times when a woman will be drinking multiple times and there's times when she's only drinking once. And for Rabbi Yehuda, the difference is going to be whether we're talking about one husband or two husbands. The Chachamim Omrim, and now here we are with our third opinion, the Shita of the Chachamim. The Chachamim Omrim, Ein Isha Shosu V'Shona, Bein B'Isha Echad, Bein B'Shnei Anoshim. According to the Chachamim, a woman's not going to be drinking, and it's not and not with one husband, not with two husbands. In other words, a woman will not be drinking multiple times, but only once in her lifetime. A woman is going to be drinking the Mei Sota. Okay, now, so what we have over here presented to us are three opinions, and the Gemara now is going to help us organize this information because right now we really have not been given enough information to understand the opinions. So the Gemara now is going to clarify. So, Tanakama nami aksiv zos, v'rabbanan basrei nami aksiv taras. So, what we have to do is that we have to balance, meaning, that's what I said at the beginning, but now the Gemara really speaks it out. And that is that we have a miut, we have a ribui. The word zos is a miut that tells us that limited, constricted, right? We're not drinking multiple times. That's the word zos, but taras is an expansion. We are going to be drinking multiple times. So which one is it? The answer is it's going to be both. But how do you fit that into the opinions? The Gemara does exactly that. Amarava. So, okay, so let's start off nice and easy. And that is one husband, one boal. So what everyone is in agreement of is that's where we're going to be constricting. Okay? In other words, there's only going to be one opportunity to clear the air when it's one husband and it's one paramour. Okay? So in the event where she's with this man, right? We don't have to give him a name. Okay? We could just simply say it's the same guy. So the so if she's now speaking with this guy and the husband warns her and she secludes herself with this guy and they go to the Beis HaMikdash and she drinks the Mesota and now we are unfortunately in reruns where she's going back and talking to this guy and the husband warns her. So if it's Ish Echad and Baal Echad, everyone agrees at that point in time, Eina Shosa Vishona. There is no repeated drinking. Now, it's interesting, by the way, because I say it so clearly and so definitively, and now what? Meaning, okay, we're not going to go back to the Beis HaMikdash. We're not going to drink again. And okay, I'm going to leave that just right now for a moment open-ended, and I will come back to that, and I'll try to explain a little bit better, and now what? If in the event that he would like her to have a drink again. Okay, but everyone's in agreement. One husband, one baal, one boal. She's only drinking one time and that's it. Okay, kuli amalo pligi, denish shoshav shona. As we are now on the top of Yutesamad Aleph. So, dixiv zos, because there we have the zos. That's the constriction. And bishne anashimushne boalim dukuli amalo pligi, denish shoshav shosha, vishona, daxiv toras. Now, if it's two husbands then, and two different men that she is entertaining. That's a nice way to say it. I like that. So if it's two different husbands and with each of the husbands, it's two different men that she's entertaining. So there, everyone's going to be in agreement that Shosa Vishona, she'll drink one, she'll drink a second time because those are literally two different stories. It's a different, it's one husband, it's her first husband, and she was talking with one man a little too much. Too much extracurricular activity with one man. And then, again, let's just assume, right, let's just say the husband died. She now marries another man. And now with her second husband, she is having extracurricular activity with a different guy. Not the same one that she was spending too much time with her first husband. So, shnei baalim u'shnei boalim. Everyone's in agreement. We have the word toras, which is an expansion. Okay. So, the extremes are easy. Here's where it gets tricky. So, let me just read it again. B'shen Hashem u'shnei bo'alim on the top of your testament Aleph. So, dekule amalo pligi de'isha shosa v'shona darik ziv toras. Okay, good. So those are easy. One husband, one bo'al, no drinking twice. Two husbands, two different bo'alim. So, yeah, she'll be drinking twice. Ki pligi b'isha charu shnei boalim and b'shnei anashim abol echad. Now here's where we're going to have a debate, and that is where it's two husbands, one paramour, or one husband, two paramours. So Tanakama suffers. So according to the Tanakama, so he's now going to be focusing on Torahs. L'rebu yikulo. So the Tanakama says that here we're going to focus on Torahs being an expansion, meaning we have two middle cases. And the Tanakhama will tell you, yeah, I'm going to take those two middle cases, I'm going to slide them over to the expansion side, which means multiple drinking. And v'zos l'mute ishecheru bo'al echad. Now, according to the Tanakhama, he agrees there's zos, but we already have a case of zos, and the zos would be in the case of one husband, one paramour. Good. V'rabbanu basrei savar zos l'mute kulu, and toros l'rabui shtei anashim v'shnei bo'alim. Now, what the Tanakhama will tell you is, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take those two middle cases and we're going to slide it over to Zos. And that means to say that a woman is never going to be having multiple drinkings, with notable exception to Shnei Baalim u'Shnei Boalim. And then Rabbi Yehuda is going to split the difference. And Zos Lamute Tarte and Taurus Lerebuye Tarte. Zos Lamute Tarte Ishechad Ubal Echad Isha Echad Ushne Boalim. So when is she going to be limited to one-time drinking? That will be when it's one husband, one Boal, which again, everybody agrees that that's a one-time drink. And then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if it's Isha Echad Ushne Boalim, if it's one husband, and now after her first round of going to the Beis Hamikdash and drinking, so now he would like to bring her back for a different Boal. Rav Yehuda would say, under those circumstances, also, no. In other words, that's a zos. That's a miyut. That's an exclusion. It's a constriction. No. With one husband, she's only drinking one time and that's it. And finally, Taurus l'rabuye tarte, shnei anashim u'bol achad, shnei anashim u'shnei bo'alem. And then, what do we have the word Taurus? What is Taurus coming to include? The case which everybody agrees to, two husbands, two paramours. But even in the case of two husbands and one paramour, so then that also would be falling under the category of inclusion, not exclusion. Okay, now, I hope all that was clear. In other words, basically, if you want to, it's great to chart it. We're obviously not going to chart it right now. But basically, if you want to look at it, what we're looking at over here are four separate cases. And now just a question of when we're including, when we're excluding. When is she doing multiple drinks? When is she not doing multiple drinks? And if I may, I'm just going to be focusing on Rav Yehuda. It'll be, first of all, the middle position. It's the one where he is balanced, and it's the one where Rashi really explains it the best. Okay? And Rav Yehuda will tell you the following. Okay? In other words, I have four cases. So, if it's one husband, and she is now entertaining the same man two times over, drink once. If it's one husband, and she's entertaining two different men, still, you only drink once. Okay. That's Rabbi Yehuda. And the same Rabbi Yehuda will tell you that if it's two different husbands, so then she'll be able to drink a second time. once per husband. One drink per husband. Okay. If you want to wrap your head around it some more, basically what Rabbi Yehuda is telling you is that basically this ability to have his wife drink is a once per husband event. Okay. If you want to see it that way. Now, here's an interesting Rashi. Let's do it inside. It's so fascinating. Rashi writes, in explanation Rabbi Yehuda, it's the last Rashi before the upcoming Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda svira le v'chule da'acha shariba akasav amiyot v'lo pirish mariba ma'amiyot. Okay, so we know what is happening. There is an inclusion, there's an exclusion. But what we don't know, the Torah is not clear about, is what to be included, what to be excluded. Watch, listen to the words of Rashi. Okay. So now, who is going to be the arbiters to decide which cases fall in the ribui and which cases fall in the miyut? Chachmei Yisrael. They're the ones who decide. Meaning that the Torah gives us categories, and it's now within the purview, within the framework of the Chachamim, to now fill in each of the categories based on their thinking. Amazing. This is an idea which expresses itself multiple times throughout Halacha. Just give you one other example. There are many examples to go over, but Chol HaMoed, for example. So by Chol HaMoed, there's an Isser Malacha. There's also a Heter Malacha. So what's allowed on Chol HaMoed? What's not allowed during Chol HaMoed? So Masru Chachamim, the Gemara's Lashon? I don't think so. I think it's the Ron's Lashon. Regardless, it's just that is an example of the Chachamim were given the ability to legislate what is going to be Aser and what's going to be Mutar and Chol HaMoed in terms of Malacha. Okay. And again, there are many other examples, but over here Rashi says, this is an example. So of Masru Chachamim. So Maribo Mamir. Umistabra. So Rashi says, so I'm going to help us understand what's the thought process of Rav Yehuda. Now, mind you, by the way, there are three different opinions, meaning Masru Chachamim, where the rabbis now have the right to fill in the categories. So what we also just learned together is that there's not one, not two, but three different ways to fill in the boxes, right? I have two categories, then how do I fill in? And I have four cases, so how do I slide it over? So, right, the one takes three of the cases and moves it to the right. Sorry, I didn't really clarify which is right and which is left. But one takes the three cases, move it to the right, and one case to the left. One takes three cases to the left and one case to the right. And Rabbi Yehuda, so he's splitting the difference of two and two. And Rashi says, now I'm going to explain Rabbi Yehuda. And here's where it's already interesting, but here's where it gets more interesting. V'lo ashnei ba'alim ba'al achad. Okay. So, and mistaber. And here's the thought process, the logic behind Rabbi Yehuda. And that is, kevan dekine lekfar v'nimtzes nikia, nira hadavar sha'adam kan taranhu, u'miskavin lahaknita. Because, let's take a look at what just happened. Right? Well, in other words, in the case of one husband, and it doesn't matter how many paramours there are, whether it's the same one or whether it's a different one. What just happened is that the husband took her to the Beis HaMikdash to drink the Mesota. Okay? And she survived, meaning she was cleared. And now what? Same husband now wants to bring her again? No. You know what? A little bit now, we're going to be taking all of her attention away from the wife and moving all of her attention to the husband. Right? In other words, we say to the husband, didn't we do this already? And she was cleared. So in other words, the thought process now is that this isn't so much now a reflection on her. This is now going to be much more of a reflection on him. He is, as Rashi describes, kantaran. He's cantankerous, right? It's clearly now a him issue. Lahaknita hilkach loshna mechshad rishon loshna meacher. And at that point in time now, she already cleared herself once. She doesn't need to drink again. And what Rashi really is saying is, and again, now I open-ended a question at the beginning of the discussion, but now based on this Rashi, we can close the loop. And that means that according to Rav Yehuda, when we say that she's not drinking again, it's because we assume she's innocent. Meaning if she already survived one drink with her husband, and now same husband wants to go back and have her drink again, eina shosa v'shona. She ain't a shona v'shosa. She's not going to repeat drink. Why? Because we assume right now the husband's a nunik. Okay, sorry for labeling. Sorry for taking a side. But this is the way Rashi's understanding. The husband's a nunik, and we just assume that this is a husband issue. It's not a her issue, and we assume her innocence. So ain't a shona v'shosa. The way Rashi understands it is she's not going to repeat drink, and we're going to assume that she's innocent. Okay. That is Rashi's conclusion. That's Rashi's understanding of why it is that a woman under one husband is not going to repeat drink. Okay. And then, I mean, we could just fill in the blank, by the way. Meaning, according to Rashi, now if it's her second husband, so now we have to, in other words, we reset. Because now with her second husband, we don't know the nature of the second husband. In other words, the obviously two different men. And if the second husband now feels that she is a little too much extracurricular activity with somebody else, regardless of who that somebody else is. Same paramour, different paramour, doesn't matter. So with the second husband, now he's going to have the ability and right to bring it to the base. I mean, she's a drink. Okay. That is all Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. Okay. And for a much deeper dive into the Gemara, so we're not going to do this, but read the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't seem to be learning the Gemara the same way Rashi does. The Rambam seems to be indicating that she doesn't repeat drink, and the Rambam would seem to indicate that she actually is going to be forbidden to her husband from that point going forward. Okay, so obviously there's much, much deeper dive we could do, but meanwhile, hopefully what I did is I explained the Gemara Aliba de Rashi, just simple pshat according to Rashi, okay, of the Gemara. And by the way, what I did not do, which, because quite frankly, Rashi didn't do it, is then you're also going to have to think of the svaras for the Tanna Kamma and for the Rabbanan Basrei. Meaning there are three opinions. So, what Rashi did beautifully for us is he really filled in the blank for the two middle opinions. For Rabbi Yehuda, the middle opinion of two sliding to one side and two sliding, two cases to one side, two cases to the other side. Okay. So, again, there's obviously much more to do, but we hopefully did a good job of scratching the surface. Hadron Alach, Hayamevi, and Adkan, that takes us to the end of the second parak, and we begin. We begin now the third parak of the Masechta, and we're going to start off very technical over here in the Mishnah, and that's going to just simply be sequence. We're sequencing now what exactly is going to be order of operations in the Beis HaMikdash. She had Kinui, she had Stira, she secluded herself with that man. She's brought to the Beis HaMikdash, escorted by two people, and we already described this in the second paragraph. This is a quick summary of what we already saw. We're going to try our best to get her to make an admission, but if she does not make an admission, so now we're going to go through with the procedure of her drinking, and also there's going to be a mincha that's going to be offered as well. Okay. In the last couple of days, I described it as his mincha. Okay, so I'd like to correct myself. It's not his mincha, it's really her mincha. Okay, there are going to be a couple of confusing points that we saw earlier, and even in today's daf, where it kind of sounds like his mincha, but it will be clear. It will absolutely be clear that it's really her mincha. Okay, regardless of whose mincha it is. What is going to be open for debate, and this will be a little bit confusing, I'll try to be as clear as possible about it, is what is going to be the order of operations. In other words, we're drinking, we're offering the mincha, and then we're drinking. So that's going to be a debate in today's daf. The Tanaim are going to be arguing the order of operations, but we're going to get there in just a moment. Hayanotos mincha samitoch fifa mitzvahs v'nosna l'stoch kli shares. So the mincha would be taken. Now Rashi over here says that the mincha is going to be taken by the husband. Okay. And Rashi, and this is technical and it's important, obviously. But Rashi says to me, because at this point in time, we don't yet need a Kohen, because a Kohen is only from Kabbalah ve'elech, only from the accepting of the blood. Now we're talking about a mincha over here. There's no blood by a mincha. This is not a shechting of a carbon. This is an animal carbon. This is a mincha. It's a flower offering. So, but still, in other words, I'm not going to do this right now, but the four parallels of the avoda of the carbon and the avoda of a mincha. And right now, let's just say it simply. At this early stage of the mincha, I don't need a Kohen. And so Rashi writes over here that the husband's going to take it regardless. Hayanotos mincha samitoch kfifa mitzris. Now, we take it out of the wicker basket. Okay, you remember, the wicker basket. That sent us on a long tangent. In the first parak of the Masechta, why a kfifa mitzris? Because of the midah keneged, midah, the symbolism. Anyway. So, v'nosa l'stoch kli sharis. Now, the mincha is going to be put into a kli sharis to imbue it with kedusha. Kedusha saguf. V'nosna yada. And now what's going to do is we're going to put the bowl in our hand. V'koin minich yada, yado mitachteha. And the Kohen's going to put his hand under her hand. So it is a strange scene by far and away. It's going to be her mincha being held by her and her hands being supported by the Kohen's hands. And if you're bothered by the fact that now the Kohen's basically putting his hands on her hands, and that's an Isser of Negiah, good. The Bavli, for whatever reason, is not bothered by it. The Yushami is bothered by it. And Tosus, I only know the Yushami because Tosus here quotes it. And the Yushami tries to explain how exactly it would be okay under these circumstances. It's obviously, it's an important discussion.
Wasn't the basket in order to make her tired? So now he's supporting her hands.
We're past the point of the basket. This is now going to be procedurally a standard mincha. This is done with every mincha.
But he's holding her hands up, right?
Correct. But again, we're past the point of trying to make her tired. We're now at the point where we're going to go through with the procedure. We're in the procedure now. Okay. So and now we're going to be doing hanafa, the waving. So and now standard operating procedure for a mincha, and that is waving, hagasha, the presentation, bringing it to the mizbeach, kemitza. And by the way, in the second paragraph we discussed all this already. Right now we're going over order. Right, the Mishnah right now is Seder, giving us the order. So vehigish, kamatz, so kemitza, vehiktir, burning the kemitza on the mizbeach, and v'asher nechala kohanim, and the shirayim. The shirayim of a mincha are eaten by the kohanim. This one's being no different. Now, hayamashke ve'achar kach makriv es mincha sa. Now, let's take a look at the drinking and the offering of the mincha relative to one another. Which one's done first? So, first drink. And then afterwards, bring the mincha. And Rabbi Shimon Amar Makriv his mincha savachar kachayamashke shenamar vachayishka aseisha samayim im hishka vachar kachikriv his mincha sakshera. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, flip the order. Why? Because the Torah says vachar yashke, and afterwards she's going to drink. Meaning, if I'm reading the psukim in the Torah, says Rabbi Shimon, the impression I get is that first the mincha is offered, then she drinks. Now, Rabbi Shimon will agree that b'di'evit, if you flip the order around, it's fine. But we have over here in the Mishnah a simple and basic machlokas in terms of procedurally, sequentially, what is the correct order. According to the Tanakhama, correct order is going to be first she drinks, then the mincha is offered. And according to Rabbi Shimon, opposite. Okay, all this will be clarified in just a couple of minutes from now. Amale Rabbi Lazar le Rabbi Yoshi de Dare. Rabbi Lazar says to Rabbi Yoshi of his generation, Rabbi Yoshi of his generation, what do you mean? There's another Rabbi Yoshi? So Rashi says, sure, absolutely. In other words, there's an earlier Rabbi Yoshi. There's a ton of Rabbi Yoshi. So the Gemara says that when Rabbi Elazar the Amora is talking to another Amora who happens to share the name with earlier Tanayim, so therefore he's clarifying it's Rabbi Yoshi of his generation. So Amalei Rabbi Elazar le Rabbi Yoshi de Dare lo teta vakarcha de mafarshe le lahay milsa minayin le mincha sota shetuna tenufa. So first of all, how do I know that the mincha of a sota requires tenufa? This waving requirement that we described in the Mishnah. So minalam ve'niv ksiv ba bebalim. I'm sorry, ve'niv ksiv ba. So he says, well, that's a funny question. In other words, why don't we just read the psukim? The Torah says the words ve'niv. So bebalim minalam. I know. Well, my question is, how do I know that the owner is going to be waving it? The owner of the mincha is going to be waving it. And here, this is where I'm going to clarify it because I said it wrong earlier, in earlier dapim, and that is the owner of the mincha is her. She's the owner of the mincha. So Asya Yad Yad Mishlam. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have Xer Shava by the Karban Shlamim. Ksiv Hacha over here, V'lakacha Koin, Mi Yad Ha'isha Ksiv Hasam, Yadav Tivienu Makan. So Koin, Aflahalan Koin, Malahalan Balim Afkan, Balim Ha'ketzad, Minich Yadot Tachas Yedea Balim Umenif. Meaning, based on the Xer Shava, so I see that there are going to be two waivers. Two waivers. Okay, I understand. You have to hear the Gemara in context, all right? Waiver over here, meaning actually waving the mincha. By the way, when I say waving, meaning we're waving it in all four directions. Now, truth of the matter is, it could be six directions. Okay, right, back and forth, up and down. Okay, like we shake a lulav. Okay, now we shake a lulav, by the way, not in four directions. We shake it in six directions. Okay, so that part can get confusing. Anyway, the waving. What we're learning via the Gzeres Shava is there are going to be two waivers. One is a Kohen, and the other one is going to be the owner of the Mincha. Or in the case of the Shlamim, the owner of the Shlamim. Now, obviously by Shlamim, the Shlamim is an animal. Whether you're waving the whole animal? No, we're not waving the whole animal. Which parts of the Shlamim are going to be waved? So that's Chaz of Ishok. The chest of the animal, one of the legs of the animal is going to be waved. That's Matnas Kahuna. Okay. Right now is just too much information. All we need to know right now is that the requirement of waving is learned via Gzeres Shava. It means that there are going to be two people necessarily waving it, the Kohen and the owner. And how can both of them do it? They're both going to put their hands on the Kohen and the owner. In this case, the owner being the woman. So good. Okay. So that's just, that's part number one of today's daf, just in the first perek, just a clarification of this requirement of Hanafa, of the waving of the mincha. So ha'ikrava. If I'm trying to follow the Mishnah, so the Mishnah does get a little bit confusing because the Mishnah describes the offering of the mincha, and then the Mishnah says, and oh, by the way, the first she'll drink and then she'll offer the mincha. Meaning, if I'm just reading the Mishnah, trying to wrap my head around the simple pshat of the Mishnah, it sounds like from the Mishnah, the mincha has already been offered. And then the Mishnah says, oh, by the way, first drink and then offer the mincha. So ha'ikrava, so ha'chikamar. So the Gemara says, okay, in other words, I see you're struggling a little bit with the understanding of the Mishnah. Let me help you out. The Mishnah first talks about procedurally how the mincha is offered. Okay, now pause, and now we're going to talk about order. Hachikamar, Seder Menachos Ketzad. Good. So how is the mincha going to be offered? Hein ve'egish kamatz ve'ikter v'ashar nechal kohanim uvashka gufa pligi Rabbi Shimon v'rabbanan. Good. So just in terms of a simple reading of the Mishnah, first the Mishnah is telling us, here's sequentially how the mincha is offered. I'm giving you Seder of the mincha. Good. Stop. Hard pause in the Mishnah. Now let's talk about how the mincha is brought relative to her drinking. Oh, on that? That's a machlokas. So, the Rabbanan Savri Mashka V'achakach Makriv Es Mincha V'Rabbi Shimon Savar Makriv Es Mincha Sa V'achakach Mashka Shenemar V'achar Yashka. Okay. Fine. So, it's a machlokas in terms of which is done first, which we're going to clarify right now. V'imishka V'achakach Hikriv Es Mincha Sa K'shera. Now, we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Rabbi Shimon flips the order, and Rabbi Shimon first mincha, then she drinks. Rabbi Shimon b'di'eved would tell you that if you reverse it, it's okay b'di'eved, but ideally first mincha is offered, then she drinks. Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah says opposite. First she drinks and then the mincha is offered. Okay, now. Amud Beis. Okay, and for the remainder of today's daf, all we're going to do, this part of today's daf is going to get a little bit technical, is that we're going to go over the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah. And on top of that, we're going to introduce really the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which is, you know, it's not a third opinion, but it's a slightly variant of the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Before we go over the opinions, this is something which we could have done back in the Mishnah, but now that we're discussing in the Amud Beis of today's daf, let's go over. We're trying to figure out what's done first. Should she drink first or offer the mincha first? How about this? Let's take a look at the psukim, right? Aren't the psukim going to tell us what the right order is? And if you haven't already figured it out, the psukim are slightly confusing, which brings about why there's a machlokus amongst the Tanaim. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to accentuate. How many times in the psukim does it describe her drinking it? Not once, not twice. Three times in the psukim. No. So, I'm just reading some of the psukim in the parsha. Because, and obviously I'm focusing on the psukim that describe her drinking. So, prepare the drink, have her drink. Okay, now. Okay. Now we talk about bringing her mincha. Okay, so good. So if I'm trying to follow the psukim in order, so now it sounds like first we drink, then the mincha is offered. But wait. V'achar yashke es ha'isha samayim. And then afterwards she drinks. Oh, that's confusing. First the Torah goes on to describe her drinking. Then it tells us that she's bringing the mincha. And then it says, and afterwards she drinks. Obviously after the mincha is offered. And then, if already we're not confused, we have a third time in the Torah. And she will drink. We have two hashka'as post-mincha. We have one hashka'ah before the mincha. Okay, good. So right now, if you're confused, it's fine. Meaning, the Torah itself is now giving us mixed messages in terms of what is the proper order. So now, Tana Rabbanan. So on the very top of Yutes Amud Beis, so here's the Braisa. Vihishka, that is number one, right? So I'll just simply describe them as either number one, number two, number three. We already went through the Psukim. There are three references over here. One is before the Mincha, and two and three are after the Mincha. So, Vihishka, that's number one. Matam alamar velokvar ne'emar, Vihishka. So, Shim nimchaka megillah va'omeris, eni shosa ma'aron osam, umashken osa balkarcha, divrei Rabbi Akiva. So, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, Rabbi Akiva, who effectively is aligned with Rabbi Shimon, that the hashka is going to be done afterwards. So what do we do with the first hashka? What we do with the first hashka is the following. Sometimes she's going to be forced to drink. Notably, once Shem Hashem is being erased, and now she, at that point in time, she tries to back out, it's too late. Meaning at that point in time, we're going to force her to drink, and just a moment, we'll talk about how exactly that's done. And Rabbi Shimon Amar V'achar Yashka, Matam Alamar V'lok V'arnemar V'ishka. So now, according to Rabbi Shimon, it says V'achar Yashka, and afterwards you drink. Now, we already have V'ishka. So Ela, L'achar Kol Masim Kulam Ha'amurim L'mala, Magish Hashosh Shadvarim Ma'akvim Ba. Okay. Three things, you need three boxes to get checked before she drinks her water. And Ashelo Krava Komets, number one, is that the Komets has to be offered already. In other words, the Mincha. And number two, Ashelo Nimcha Kaham Megillah, and the erasure of the Megillah. And number three, Vashelo Tikaba La Shvua, and the acceptance of the Shvua. So only once you have all three of those boxes checked, then and only then does she drink. So, Ashelo Krava Komets Rabbi Shimon Latamid Amar Makaviz Mincha Savacher Kach Mashka. Okay, now, checkbox number one, according to Rabbi Shimon, is that the mincha has to be offered correct, meaning Go back to the Mishnah. That's what we learned back in the Mishnah. So now, the Shem Hashem has to be erased. The Gemara says, I know that's a checkbox, but can I ask you a simple question? In other words, if we didn't put the Megillah in the water and we didn't erase it, we don't have water. Meaning, as one of the fundamental ingredients that go into the water, we know dirt of the Beis Hamikdash goes in there, and we know the klaf with Shem Hashem is going to go in there as well. And what do we have to do? We have to check the box. Well, what do you mean? If we don't put the Shem Hashem in, if we don't put the Megillah in, then we don't have water. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi lo nitzricha lishir rishumo nicker. You know what this checkbox is according to Rabbi Shimon? Not only do we have to put the Megillah in, but we have to make sure that we have full erasure. Meaning that, right, remember we discussed this yesterday's daf, and that is that we're erasing Shem Hashem. You have to make sure that you're putting it on a erasable cloth with erasable ink. Now, but what's going to happen, however, is that when it goes into the water, it may not erase totally. And you may have some fading, but you don't have full erasure. What we need is full erasure. Okay, in other words, before the Kohen gives her the water to drink, the Kohen's going to have to make sure that the Megillah is clean, that you had a full erasure. And now, Shalom to Kabbalah, Hashua, Mishahu, Dlo Shasya, HaMechtak, Sivala, V'amirava, Megillah, Sota, Shekhatsa, Kohen, Shekhabalah, Hashua, Lo, Asa, Velo, Klum. The Gemara reminds us, wait one second, that third checkbox, which is that she has to accept the Shavua, and then only afterwards she drinks, but that's a little bit misleading. Because remember, we already did this halacha of Rava, and that is that you can't even write the Megillah until she's issued the Shavua. She has to make the oath, the verbal oath, and then and only then do you write the Megillah. So it sounds like from Rabbi Shimon that we can write the Megillah, we can erase it, but she can't drink until she makes the Shavua. That's imprecise. It's not accurate. First, she has to accept the Shavua verbally, and then and only then can you even write the Megillah. So the Gemara says, okay, kidei naspa. The Gemara says, fair point. You're right on the money. Meaning that that third checkbox also needs to be clarified, and we just did. And that is that according to Rabbi Shimon, after she accepts the Shavua, then and only then do you even start writing the Megillah. Okay, so. B'makabiflagi. Okay, so. What we have over here is that we have the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and in our Mishnah you have the sheet of the Chachamim, and by the way, there's also the sheet of Rabbi Kiva as well, which we'll come back into and explain in just a moment. But obviously, over here, what's the correct seder? Do we first have a drink and then the mincha, or does the mincha offer it and then we have a drink? According to the Tanakhama, I should have done the reverse order, but according to the Tanakhama, first the mincha and then drink. And no, according to the Tanakhama, first drink and then the mincha. And according to Rabbi Shimon, opposite, right? The first the mincha and then afterwards she drinks. Now, but my Kemisla Gita Gemara wants to know what is over here at the core of the debate. Talasa Krai Ksiva Vishka Kama. So the Gemara now organizes the information that I laid out at the beginning of our Amud Beis. Three times in the Parsha does it say the word Vihishka. So Vihishka Kama. So Ve'acha Yashke Vihishka Basra. Fine. So Rabban Savre. Now, here's how it's all going to line up. First, we'll start up with the Sheet of the Chacham and Vihishka Kama L'Gufo. The first time it says Vihishka, which is obviously before the Mincha, those are procedural instructions. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama, the first time it says Vishka, Vikasav, I'm going back to the Psukim, I'm refreshing. Vikasav is Allah Ha'ila Akoin Basefra Machal Me Amarim, Vihishka Es Ha'isha Es Me Hamarim Hama'arim, Uvau Bahamayim Hamarim Lamarim. That is instructional. That tells us she drinks. That's Legufo. Shemashka Vachakach Makrivis Minchasa. And now, we just continue in the Psukim. Following correct procedure. First drink and then offer the mincha. Now, Now you have a second hashka, but according to the Tanakhama, that just tells me a halacha. Notably, you need a full erasure. And, Vishka basra shim nimcha ka megillah va'omeres inishosa marin oso amashka oso bakarcha. And that third hashka tells me the following, and that is that we're going to force drinker in the event that the Shem Hashem has been erased. And at that point in time, she says, no, thank you. It's at this point in time where it's too late. We have been, over the course, right before the erasure of the Megillah, endeavoring to try to get her to admit. But once Shem Hashem has been erased at that point in time, it is now too late. She must drink. And we're going to force her to drink. Okay, that is all according to the Tanakhama. So, we just went through the three hashkas of the Psukim, explained each one of them according to the Tanakhama. Round two, we're going to do the same thing now for Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Savar Vacha Yashka Elugufo. Shemakrivis Mincha Savacha Kach Mashka. So, for number two, that's the instructions. Those are the procedural instructions. Now, it of course begs the question, what am I going to do with the first hashka? What do I do with the third? So, vihishka kama shim hishka vacha kache krivis minchasa kshera. What I do with number one is the Torah tells me what happens bidyevin. Ideally, first mincha and then drink, according to Rabbi Shimon. But, if I don't go ideal, but bidyevin, it would be okay if the orders are reversed. And then, what do I do with number three? Vishka basrashim nimcha ka megillah v'amra inishosa maranosa mashkenosa bakarcha. And now, according to Rabbi Shimon, what do I do with number three? The forced drinking. Okay, so if we can just try to, and that was a lot of information, but if we could just try to quickly summarize, we have a basic machlokas in terms of what is procedural order for our sota. Does she first offer the mincha and then drink, or reverse? And basically, what is at issue over here is that the Torah is slightly ambiguous regarding what is the order, because the Torah tells us that she drinks not once, not twice, but three different times in the Parsha, it talks about her drinking. And so now what is at the root of the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon is which one is instructional and which one, and which of the other two are there to tell us other halachas regarding the erasure of Hashem's name. And according to the Tanakhama, the first one is instructional, which means first she drinks, and then she offers the mincha. And according to Rabbi Shimon, the second one is instructional. And then what you have to do, now you have to fill in all the other blanks. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama, what do I do with Hashka 2 and 3? And according to Rabbi Shimon, what do I do with Hashkas 1 and 3? Okay, hopefully all that was clear. Okay, and I know it's a lot of information. Now, Virabanan, the Gemara does what it does beautifully, and that is back and forth. So, according to the Chachamim, why don't they like the Rabbi Shimon interpretation of the Psukim? Because Bidyev lo pasach kra, meaning according to Rabbi Shimon, really, really strange opening. All right, what do I do with Hashka number one according to Rabbi Shimon that tells me what happens in a non-ideal fashion? Meaning it's okay if she drank and then the mincha is offer afterwards. Bidyev, it's fine. That's a funny way to open up. Telling me what is non-ideal, that's what you do with the first hashka? Okay, good. That's why the Chachamim don't accept that of Rabbi Shimon. And then what the Gemara doesn't do is, you know, go. In other words, this obviously can turn into a ping-pong match that will last for a long time. Meaning, and why doesn't Rabbi Shimon accept the Chachamim, so forth and so on? Okay, the Gemara stops over there. Okay, Savar Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Let's pause over here. We'll try to flesh out Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a third viewpoint, but it's not really a third. Rabbi Akiva is kind of more in line with Rabbi Shimon. We'll do the Rabbi Akiva viewpoint starting tomorrow. That takes us into tomorrow's daf. Really, it really ends up the whole sugya, but we'll start that tomorrow. Okay, let's recap. Let's review our daf today. We finished the second parak of the Masechta with a really interesting discussion of how many times can the husband go and bring his wife to the Beis HaMikdash to drink the Mesota? Once, twice? Okay. It is a three-way machlokas, right? There's a lot of information today's daf, right? At the end of the second parak, we learned the three-way machlokas on this very topic. Tanakhama, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Shita of the Chachamim. Okay? If I could just zoom in on that Rabbi Yehuda viewpoint, because he really splits the difference. And it's just the easiest to review. And that would be, we have a Zos, we have a Toros, we have a Miut, we have a Ribui. What Rabbi Yehuda says, and the way Rashi presents it, Masru L'Chachamim. Masru HaKasav L'Chachamim. The Torah gave the Chachamim to tell us which belongs in which category. Meaning sometimes she'll drink multiple times, sometimes she won't. And according to Rav Yehuda, as Rashi's understanding, it goes like this. With the same husband, it's one time, and that's it. In other words, and it doesn't matter if it's one paramour, it doesn't matter if the second time is with another guy, a new guy, it doesn't matter. You only drink, she only drinks one time under one husband. That's it. This is a once in a husband's opportunity to go and see whether his wife is faithful or not faithful. And why? Because the way Rashi understands it is because if this is the same husband and we're back in the Beis HaMikdash and she already cleared herself from her first first accusation, so now this is much more a reflection on the husband than it is on her. The husband is a kantaran, and so therefore we assume at this point in time her innocence has in fact been proven, and she's probably innocent again.
Maybe that's why Rabbi Meir says you do the Tanai, the two amends, for this guy or for any future guy.
Right. Could be. Right now this is the Shita Rav Yehuda, so I don't know if they have to agree, but could be. So the and that all slides on the side of one time. However, according to Rav Yehuda, if it's two husbands, meaning she drank with the first husband, and then, let's say he died, she remarries with a second husband, she can drink a second time with her second husband. And according to Rav Yehuda, it doesn't matter if it's the same paramour, different paramour, doesn't matter. Okay? Because with a new husband, obviously now, we don't know his track record. So he'll be able to have her drink twice. That is the sheet of Rav Yehuda, as explained by Rashi. Good. And then we started the third paragraph this morning. And in the beginning of the third parak, so we talked about, first of all, how the mincha is offered, and the standard procedural operations with the carbon mincha, the hanafa requirement that's done jointly by both the owner and the kohen. Now over here, slightly awkward because the owner of this mincha is her, and so that means that the kohen and her are going to be holding the bowl together in order to do the hanafa. The bavli, our gemara bavli it's okay. The Yerushalmi bothered by it, but gives solutions. I didn't go through the Tosfos inside. But you want to see the Tosfos? We're not doing it now, but if you want to see it inside, it's the second Tosfos on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. But Yerushalmi's bothered by it in terms of how could that be. But regardless, standard operating procedure regarding the Mincha, and then second half of today's daf is going to be now. Where does the mincha offering, where does it stand relative to the hashkah, her drinking the mesota? Is it first offer the mincha, then drink the mesota, or opposite? Drink the mesota and then offer the mincha. Machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon, and what we'd spent most of our Amud Beis doing today is seeing the psukim inside. There are three times where the Torah says she will drink. Obviously, she only drank one time. So the three times in the Torah where it says she drinks, once before the offering of the mincha, twice afterwards, and where of those three times is the actual instructions for her to drink? According to the Tanakhama, that's the first time. According to Rabbi Shimon, that's the second time. And then what the Gemara did is fill in the blanks. According to the Tanakhama, what do I do with the second and third hashkah? According to Rabbi Shimon, what do I do with the first and third hashkah? So the Gemara filled in those blanks, and a little bit the Gemara explained why each position didn't like the other position. That was most of the second half of today's daf.